fair-sized European states could be placed on its territory. Besides indigenous residents, that is, the Komi people, there are also Russians, Ukrainians, Nenets, Chuvashis, and Tartars. And now, let's go back into history a little bit. A boy lying on skins behind our backs was turning the knobs of a small transistor radio. And the tent was suddenly filled with an announcer's voice speaking Komi. Then with music from Moscow, followed by English and French speech.
The recording was made at the Moscow Theater of Musical Miniatures.
Now, back to modern times.
Your attention, please. At the recommendation of the International Time Bureau, commencing at 23 hours, 59 minutes, 60 seconds UTC, an extra second will be inserted into the NBS time scale. This adjustment is required to maintain internationally coordinated universal time as broadcast from these stations in close agreement with UT1 or astronomical time.
WA6ODB with a question.
And,
Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union?
And about power. We got so much power now.
Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union?
We got so much power now. That's ridiculous.
Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union?
Power and all that. That's power. We got so much power. That's ridiculous.
We have
power, 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 power now. It's ridiculous. We got so much power now.
Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union?
It's not even funny. That's ridiculous.
Do you know how many...
It's not even funny. That's ridiculous.
Do you know how many...
That's ridiculous.
Do you know how many times...
That's ridiculous. It's not even funny. It's not even funny. It's not even funny.
Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union?
It's not even funny. How many time zones?
Yeah. We have four in this country, right?
How many time zones?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
Four in this country, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
4. 1, 2, 3. Yes, sir.
Right?
1, 2, 3. Yes, sir.
Huh?
4 time zones?
Yeah. We have 4 in this country, right?
No, sir.
We have.
Yes, sir. And,
Do you know how many time zones they have?
Yes, sir. 4. No, sir. I never really studied that up.
11.
11. It's not even funny.
The 11.
11. That's ridiculous.
The 11.
11. Well, that's what we can do. We can go anywhere because we live here. We can go anywhere else.
But not only the right of free travel, I'm saying the 11.
11. 1, 2, 3. Yes, sir.
The 11.
11.
That's how big they
are. Yeah, yeah. 11.
That's how big they are.
Yeah, yeah. I can believe that. I'm a firm believer in that.
Right?
1, 2, 3. 4. Yes, sir. 1, 2, 3. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The Soviet Union, the whole half is out of the world.
Yeah.
And we're just one little tenth of the globe.
Yeah.
They, when you talk about fighting, we're a country that, we're a firm believer on Christ, and it's called help thy neighbor. Do not kill, do not, you know, steal, cheat, lie from everybody. That's why we have to have computers, because man, nobody is perfect. You know? It's not even funny. And about power, man, nobody is perfect. You know?
So what is your point?
Nobody is perfect.
So what is your point, Clint?
There's two things they'll talk about. One's politics, the other one's religion. The reason you don't talk about them is because they combine in each other. You know what I'm saying?
Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union?
You know what I'm saying?
Don't you kid yourself. Thanks, Glenn, for the, just thanks for the good thoughts.
Just hold on a second.
Concludes our transmission to Oceania. However, listeners in East Asia may continue listening on the following shortwave frequencies. 6110, 7230, 9565, 9760, 15160, and 15425 kilohertz. Separate.
This is Jello Biafra of Dead Kennedys, and you're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook, 90.1 FM, unless your stereo was made in America.
Stay tuned. Brain Damage is next.
Stardate February 20th. The constellation Cancer the Crab is high in the east in mid-evening this month. Cancer is faint. It takes a long time to learn how to see it. On the other hand, this inconspicuous pattern of stars contains a treasure, one that's buried in the darkness of deep space. Binoculars reveal a large star cluster in Cancer, which is called Praesepe, or the Beehive. If you have binoculars, use them to scan high in the east at around 10 p.m. If you try scanning, you might happen on the Beehive, which really looks like a swarm of bees, but is actually a swarm of stars. The Beehive is one of the largest, nearest, and brightest of the galactic star clusters. It's located some 500 light-years away, and it contains at least 200 stars. These stars are all born from a single cloud of gas and dust. They're loosely bound by gravity, and they move through space as a family. In an extremely dark sky, you can see the Beehive star cluster with the naked eye. But again, you'll need binoculars in the sky over a city. The ancient astronomers didn't have outdoor lighting. They could always see the Beehive and used it to forecast the weather. If the sky looked clear, but the Beehive was invisible, they believed a violent storm was approaching. And maybe it was, since high cirrus clouds that could hide the Beehive often come before storms. In those days, without binoculars or telescopes, astronomers called the Beehive a mist or a cloud. This is Stardate. Our writer and our producer is Deborah Bird. Stardate is a production of the McDonald Observatory. We're at the University of Texas at Austin. Our zip code, 78712. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
Just hold on a second.
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
Changed. The new number is 2. Please make a note of it. The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Brain damage.
Möchten Sie etwas zu trinken haben?
Just hold on a second.
return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say déjà vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say déjà vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say déjà vu?
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Hart.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
If you do not put the key in 3 seconds, you will be disconnected.
Mein Bruder ist jünger als ich.
Starting.
We're fired up, and we can't take it no more. Here on WUSB Stony Brook, the program is Brain Damage, and you've tuned in just in time, because we're just beginning, and we'll be here for another, about 1 hour and 50 minutes, I suppose, taking your phone calls and talking about all kinds of nonsense, brain-damaging things, and this and that. Our telephone number is 632-6901, and if you get through, just let it keep ringing in. We will get to you eventually. This is one talk show that gets to just about everybody that calls. At least we give a valiant effort to. And some things I'd like to bring up, since we're all gathered here today. And one of them is a rather sad note. We've lost someone who is rather dear to us, Martin K. Spector. And in case you don't know who Martin K. Spector is, or who he was, actually, he was the man who created the Interrobang. That's right, the Interrobang. Now, I sense an overwhelming amount of you out there asking, what in God's name is an Interrobang? Well, I guess I'll tell you then. An Interrobang is that strange punctuation mark which I admit I've never seen before, but here's the obituary in Newsday, and it's got a big picture of it. It's a cross between a question mark and an exclamation point. It's got a question mark shape, but instead of going up to be a question mark, it also goes out to be an exclamation point at the same time. Picture, if you will,
a typewriter that has typed an exclamation point, then backspaced over and typed the question mark, and you have an interrobang all of a sudden. Well, this guy developed it. That's his claim to fame. And he's died at the age of 73. He came up with the interrobang, which combines an exclamation point and a question mark, in 1962 in his work as an advertising executive. The mark which goes at the end of rhetorical questions is said to be the typographical equivalent of a grimace or a shrug of the shoulders. And it sort of looks like that if you look at it. Mr. Spector was president of Martin K. Spector Associates Incorporated from 1956 to 1969, and he handled the promotion for the Wall Street Journal, the National Observer, Barron's Weekly, and the Dow Jones News Service. And you know, I haven't seen a single interrobang in any of those publications. I wonder how much influence he actually had. In 1969, Martin K. Spector Associates merged with Clinton E. Frank Advertising, and Mr. Spector retired in 1974. He has also been the editor of Type Talks magazine from 1959 to 1968 and wrote articles. He wrote a book, Disquisition on the Composing Stick. So whenever you see an interrobang in the future, think of Martin. Martin Spector. It's one of those things you see in the newspaper and it just kind of leaps out at you, you know? And you don't really know how to take it. Well, getting on to things of a lighter nature. We have a poll that came in. Actually, some of our listeners have taken to sending me some interesting clippings, and this is one of them. Actually, it's from January. It's kind of a survey of college newspaper editors. 500 college newspaper editors were asked all kinds of questions, and they did the best they could to answer them. Questions about considering a job, questions about their personal lives, all that kind of thing. So here's what some of the questions were answered with. First of all, the most pressing issue facing the current college generation was AIDS, 28%, nuclear weapons, nuclear war, and world peace, 22%. I don't know if they all should be categorized together like that. It's one nice thing and two bad things. The economy and the deficit, 5%. Declining moral and ethical values, 5%. Caring for others, 4%. Apathy, 4%. Typical. Environmental conservation and overpopulation, 4%. Now, with regards to how AIDS has affected the respondent, the people who said they will only sleep with someone that they're involved with monogamously was 51%. The percent of people that plan to exercise caution in any new sexual relationship, actually that's two O's there, I guess they mean relationship, that's 32%. Those who are not worried about safe sex and not at risk, 11%. Hail to them. And the ones who plan to be celibate until a cure is found, 2%. I'd like to know what those of you out there listening feel, and I see we have a few phone calls. We will be getting to them in just a moment. The quality most valued in any relationship, honesty, 36%. Now, isn't that nice? All you need is honesty. 36% of the people out there feel that's the most important aspect. So that means you can just sort of walk out to someone and say, hey, I'm honest. You want to go out? And the odds are 36 in 100 that they'll say, sure, because you've come out to me and you said you're honest, and that's what I value. So let's give it a try. Some of the other more redeeming qualities are warmth, 21%. That means all you have to do is hold out your hand, and if you got good circulation, that adds another 21% to it. That brings you up to about 57. Intelligence, though, that's only 18%. I always said intelligence wasn't worth all that much. Sense of humor, 11%. If you've got a good sense of humor, it doesn't mean that much anymore. Only 11% of the people feel that's the most valued thing in a relationship. Similar interest, even less, 10%. And are you ready for this? Attractive appearance, 1%. Now, come on already. Are these college newspaper editors lying or what? Do you believe that 1 out of 100 people believes that attractiveness is the most important quality? 1 out of 100. Or, collectively, 1% of our complete interest in someone is based on their attractiveness. Only 1%. Honesty is so much more important. Well, let's continue with this survey. It's kind of silly, I guess. How free time is spent? Well, 49% of the people spend... Let me make sure I understand this. 49% say socializing with friends. 23% say reading. 13% say sleeping. Guess they got a few Stony Brookers in there. 6% watching television. 5% spend their time exercising or competing in sports. And only 2% spend their time going to nightclubs and bars. Seems I know a disproportionate amount of people that like to go to bars and are only interested in people for their looks. Drinking habits. Okay, here we go. Virtually never drink alcohol, 42%. Only on weekends, 31%. 2 to 5 drinks per week, 21%. 2 or more drinks per day, 4%. And the respondents' choice of drinks, beer, 38%. Low-proof drink, such as schnapps or wine cooler, 20%. Mixed drinks, such as screwdriver or Bloody Mary, 20%. Wine, 10%. And straight whiskey, 5%. No one said Pepsi. Number of children planned. None, 15%. 1, 8%. 44% said they would have 2 children. 20% said that they would have 3. And 8% said they would be gluttons about it and have 4 or more. I love surveys like this. Well, let's go to the phone, 632-6901. Tell us what's been happening in your life this week and what you think of this week's news developments and all kinds of things like that. And good evening to you. You are on Brain Damage.
Hello?
Yes?
Hi, my name is Andrew Goldberger.
Okay. What can we do for you this evening?
I was just wondering about that guy who made up that weird typewriting thing.
Oh, yes. Martin Spector. Spector, I'm sorry. Martin K. Spector, the man who created the Interrobang. Yes, what about him?
I was just wondering...
You missed the funeral, if that's what you're thinking. Yeah, no, he died on the... let's see. He died about a week ago, actually.
Yeah, but why is he so important?
Why is he important? Well, how many people do you know that have created punctuation marks? Have you created a punctuation mark? That's an unfair question. I realize you're kind of young. But I would be very surprised if in your entire life you create a punctuation mark. On purpose, that is. You know what I mean?
I don't know what.
We have to respect the man. We have to respect the man who created this unique thing, even though none of us have ever seen it before. Take Newsday's word for it. He did create it. They even printed it. Although it's a really silly picture of one. In Interrobang, 632-6901. And I was going to pull the news, but I forgot. I forgot to pull the news, so it's still out there typing away. And we'll get to that in just a moment. This call is coming from on campus. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, what was the question, or with the mark, punctuation mark that guy invented?
Yeah.
What was it called?
It was called an Interrobang.
You know, I've always wondered, you know the marks they use when they don't want to swear, like in comics or whatever?
Yeah, those are like little pictures of Saturn and pound signs and all kinds of weird things you never see.
Yeah, do you know if collectively those are called anything?
You know, I don't think they have a collective name. If there are any graphic artists out there that might know these things, they could very well have a name, but I don't think they're called Interrobangs.
No, I know an Interrobang is that one question mark and exclamation point thing you're talking about. I'm talking about something else. Maybe this has a name, and if it so has a name, then of course it has an inventor, and it'd be interesting to know what his name was.
Yeah, well, I imagine the at sign. I mean, someone must have invented the at sign, right?
Well, I don't think that they all were just discovered it once. All of a sudden, somebody discovered some ancient writing, and they discovered the at sign. They said, hey, that sounds like a good thing to use when you're adding something together.
Yeah, sure. And for every one character that has been created, think of all the ones that have failed. And there must be some pretty good ones out there. You know, things that people have thought would really help out, but I mean, I don't know who's in charge of rejecting these things. I think it should be left up to the people to decide. I've never been asked.
Oh, I agree. You know, and what's also interesting to think about is think of maybe some punctuation marks that haven't been thought of yet.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if anybody can think of a new punctuation mark.
Well,
maybe,
if you can think of something, this is the place to air it, because you're sure as hell not going to get a chance anywhere else.
All right, Eric. Well, thank you for your time, and I'll be listening to your show from now on, I guess.
Okay, don't touch that dial.
You bet I won't.
Because you might get a shock if you try it.
Well, my radio can't get anything else anyway, but that doesn't matter, because I'll just do it anyway.
That's because we've gotten to your radio.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
Sure, bye-bye.
632-6901, area code 516, if you want to talk about what's going on with Interrobangs or any other things in the news. Tell you the truth, I would like to see some new letters. I think it's about time we add it to the 26 letters. I mean, we can add to states, we can add to franchises in the NFL. Why not add to the alphabet? I mean, it sounds crazy, but I think it's worth thinking about. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, it's me again.
Oh, did you recover?
Yeah, my brother just hung up the phone.
Uh-huh, okay, I understand perfectly.
I have two more things. At the Olympic Games?
Yeah.
I'm watching it right now.
Uh-huh.
But...
You're watching it, listening to the radio, and talking on the phone at the same time. That's incredible. What kids today can do.
No, I turned down the volume.
Uh-huh.
And we're watching men's figure skating.
Ah. Well, it's really exciting if you're watching it on TV, but on the radio it just doesn't do it, you know?
All right, the other thing is, I think you should have a poll on, which are the best shows on your, station.
Well, what do you think is the best show on the station?
The John Connolly Show.
John Connolly, why is that?
Because he has a lot of neat people on it.
Well, he takes readings and things like that. I mean, you know, people call... He doesn't do it, but he has his guests take calls and say what they feel. And I don't understand how they do it. I'd like to know. But it's an interesting program. It's on every Monday night at 11, right here on 90.1 FM. But we have all kinds of wild programs. I mean, have you ever listened to the Chinese Music Hour?
No.
Well, you should. You should. You really should.
And one more thing.
Yeah.
I want to know about... I think I talked to someone there about getting Mr. Radio. You know, you have that new radio system last week. You got 5 phone callers on?
Yeah, we're thinking of doing that again, starting another conference call. We need a bunch of callers to do that.
Yeah, but I think I spoke to you about it, about getting Mr. Radio permanently off the air.
Well, that's something that, I mean, what would you like me to do about it?
No, is there any way of stopping his phone calls? I mean, he's...
Well, we have a pretty nifty phone system here. It can do all kinds of things. It can, it's got something called executive override. It's got something about missile launching, which I don't really understand, and I don't want to play with it until I read the manual, but it can do a lot of things. And it can display numbers. It can block numbers. It can be pretty damn aggressive, you know? So,
my babysitter wants to speak to you.
Uh-huh. He said something about his babysitter? Anyway, 632-6901, area code 516. And good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yes, I'm suffering some right now. Mr. Radio here.
Ah.
How you doing, Eric Corley?
Okay, how are you?
Okay, the last caller, what was his name?
That, I believe, was Andrew.
Andrew, he's very articulate for a younger gentleman, and he's very opinionated. I find him to be very funny. You know, and he is true about John Connolly. John Connolly is beautiful. He has the greatest psychic Eileen. She is incredible. You should get her on your show once. She predicts everything in my future. She's beautiful. And John Connolly, you know, he can't articulate correctly, is somewhat intelligent and a beautiful radio host. You know, you like the guy. He's got a good personality. Check him out, people. John Connolly Show, Monday nights, 11 p.m. here on WUSB, the first station of the 90s.
Well, you've done your research. I'll give you that much.
Yeah. John Connolly, Andrew, you're a good guy, even though you're bad-mouthing me here. I don't mind. Let's see. Let me promote my career right here. I'm going to be on the Alan Colmes show.
Before we get into that, I'd like to know. Now, you say this person has predicted your future. How has this person predicted your future?
Okay, the psychic Eileen in the past, you know, little things about what's going to happen, you know, who I'm going to meet and everything. She would tell me and everything.
Yeah, does she give you names?
No, she just tells. Well, I would not, like, it's, you know, regarding my relationships, and she tells me what's going to happen, basically, and stuff. And she's right on the money. She's incredible. I've talked to many psychics on the Joel Martin show when he used to be on WBAB, but this psychic, Eileen, is the best. I've heard, you know, thousands of psychics on various radio stations up and down the East Coast on various great radio stations, but Psychic Eileen is the best. I'll tell you, she is fantastic.
Now, how can somebody over the telephone tell what's going to happen to you? How can they tell anything?
She's incredible. You have to meet her. I mean, I would love to meet Psychic Eileen.
But what is the scientific explanation?
I don't know. Eric Corley, I don't know.
Well, aren't you curious?
Yes, I hear she's...
don't you ever ask her?
Newsday should do an article on Psychic Eileen. She's incredible. She's from another planet. She's from Lost in Space. She's from Mars. I think she even knows Mr. Ed. But
wouldn't be surprised. Wouldn't be surprised.
Anyway, let me just promote my career here, if you will.
Very briefly.
I was contacted by the Alan Colmes Show, who does a talk show on WNBC here in New York. So I'm going to be appearing on his show.
Don't be too quick about that. WNBC was just sold yesterday.
It's a paper. That's going to be happening in 3 to 4 months, the approval. So, you know, it's going to be happening. My appearance on his show will be sometime in the very near future.
Well,
also, Bob Buckman from WBAB has contacted me. So I'm going to be on his show. And I just, I was just on the Z Morning Zoo on Z100 on Wednesday. I was out in the Z van with Spanky McFarland spotting bumper stickers and doing live broadcasting. So that was interesting. So my career is picking up. Can I take another call, or is that possible?
What is your career, just out of curiosity?
Excuse me?
What is your career?
What is my career?
Yeah.
I didn't catch that question.
You said your career is picking up, and I'm just at a loss as to what your career is.
Oh, well, I'm a radio critic / disc jockey / bill collector. You know, I dabble myself in various fields, if you will. I'm a freelance radio critic.
If I will what?
What?
If I will what?
Excuse me?
You said, if I will. If I will what? I'd like to know what I'm getting involved in.
Howard Stern says that phrase a lot, so I would...
Well, what does it mean?
If you will.
What does it mean?
But anyway...
Don't you know what it means?
Excuse me?
Don't you know what it means when you say that?
I'm suffering from some kind of brain damage.
That's what it means when you say that?
Again.
Well, we do have a couple of calls coming in, but why don't you give a pitch now and get some calls? We can have another conference call and see if we can beat last week.
Super. Oh, let me, boys and girls, everybody wave to Lister, you and Lowe, if he's listening. Everybody wave. Hi, Lister. We love your reggae show. Keep on playing them Jimmy Cliff records. Okay, next caller, please. Let's go to another call here on USB.
Aren't you going to give out the phone number? Aren't you going to say call now and all that kind of thing?
Boys and girls, get a pen and a crayon and a piece of paper. Okay, ask your mommy first if you can call. Okay, get her permission because you don't want her running up phone bills.
How about catering? Excuse me. How about catering to some adults here? It would be kind of nice, you know?
All right, boys and girls and ladies and gentlemen, run to the phone right now. Dial area code 516-632-6901. Please, no collect calls or prank phone calls.
Now, let me just add here that if you are in area code 516 and you try dialing 516, you won't get anywhere, so leave off the 516,
obviously. Well,
those
are people up there in Bridgeport in WPKN territory.
Yeah, well, you'd have to dial 1 before the whole thing.
WPKN in Bridgeport.
Let me just add at this point also, looking at the Guinness Book of World Records here, that the highest recorded response to a radio show occurred on November 27th, 1974, when on a five-hour talk show on WCAU in Philadelphia, Howard Sheldon, the astrologist, registered a total of 388,299 calls.
Oh, my goodness.
That was on the Bill Corsair show. So I'm not saying, you know, I want to beat that tonight. I'm not saying that.
You get five callers, including Andrew.
Well, now, I just want to say, let's give them a run for their money, okay?
Okay.
Let's put USB on the map. Now, 388,000 is a lot of calls, no question about it.
Oh, by the way, I must, personal appearance time, Mr. Radio will be appearing at Shadows in Stony Brook later tonight about 1 p.m., or actually 1 a.m., excuse me. I will be there tonight after the show, autographing, kissing babies and everything. So.
Rocks and bottles will be made available.
Yes, I'll be at Shadows after the show, autograph pictures and kissing babies and, you know, mingling with the crowd and the demographics, if you will. Next call. Let's go on to a call.
Okay, let's try to go to a call here. Hold on a moment.
Okay, Eric Corley.
Hit the right buttons here.
Hello, USB, you're on the air.
Hi.
What's your name?
My name is Lauren.
What's your name?
Lauren.
Lauren?
Yeah.
Are you a boy or girl?
I'm a girl.
Oh, well, in fact,
I'm a woman. Yeah.
Oh, baby.
And I just tuned in, and I was wondering if you'd like to hear about my career.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you seem to be, you know, very, very full of yourself there. And,
baby.
And, it's, you know, your career is just damn interesting.
I thought maybe you'd
like to hear about mine.
Yeah, I
I go to school and I work. Yeah, and you know, it's pretty exciting.
What do you look like?
Do you wear
acid wash jeans?
No, I find them appalling.
They look good if you have a nice tight bun.
Yeah. You know, you were on last week, weren't you?
Yeah, you really
bored the tears out of me.
Thank you.
It's thrilling. You're welcome.
Thank you.
I was wondering, you know, since I tuned in, I've just. Last week I tuned in right away when I heard you, and I just tuned in this week thinking that, oh, maybe there'd be something a bit refreshing, and, you know, I turned back in, and it was you, and boy, was I excited, and I would really like to know, why you're on the air, and what's the story, and
because I'm creative and funny, and Andrew likes listening to me.
Hey, you're funny. I was just on the floor laughing.
Thank you. What do you look like? What color hair do you got?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. What color hair do you have?
I have baby brown hair.
Baby brown. You wanna describe that?
Oh, God, this girl sounds like she has an attitude problem.
No, I don't. But, you know, I'd really like to hear something, you know, a tad bit more interesting than you.
What would you like to hear? What would you like to hear? Eric Corley talking about his love life?
You know, actually, I find him quite interesting.
Oh, Eric, would you like to hear about Lister Hugh and Lois reggae record?
Sure.
I think what it boils down to is we'd rather hear about anything else. But you.
I'm taking over the show.
Good. I'm so glad.
Mr. Radio here on USB.
Now, I can't let me change your phone number.
The first station of the 90s.
Might be a good idea.
I'd like to make this into kind of a, I don't know what the term is, biathlon or something, where you sort of pass the torch. What is that called?
I don't know.
Are they any athletes out there? Well,
you know what? I'm going to get going because I have a...
This girl sounds like she's stuck up, man.
An exciting party to go
to.
Oh,
man, she's probably got freckles.
Well, before...
She's probably got freckles, people.
Yeah.
Get her off the show. Like Morton Downey says, get her out of here.
Yeah, well, it's really been...
Get her out. Everybody, just say, get her out. Get her out. Go home.
All right.
Go watch Morton Downey.
Have a good show. Maybe you'd like to bring up something other than yourself.
You make me sick.
Go call
WPKN in Bridgeport. Get out of here.
I think I will. All right.
Go call WALK in the 60s.
Thanks for calling. Yeah.
Get out of here.
Now, Mr. Radio, you're being a bit rough on the listeners here.
And, as Morton Downey says, get out of here.
Anyway, next call.
Come on, next call.
When you insult computer hackers, you get put on what they call teletrial. Okay.
Right.
It happened to a certain Newsweek reporter a couple of years ago.
Right.
USB listeners have the ability to do something very similar to someone that they feel...
She was a freak. She was a freak with freckles.
Well, no, I would not be too hasty here.
Okay, let's go on to the next call. Come on, Eric Corley, you hippie from the 70s. Next caller here.
People, give us a call, 632-6901.
Likes me, who wants to, compliment me, please call, because we're tired of hearing these girls with the freckles and the fat behind, like Lauren. Next caller,
anyway,
come on.
The first person who calls up and says, Eric, please hang up on Mr. Radio, I'll do it.
Already...
I just want to get phone calls.
Because I'm taking over the show.
632-6901, that's our phone number. The first person to call up and just say that simple phrase... Oh, my goodness, I've never seen the phones line up.
Get him out of here.
Hold on a second. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, before I tell you what you want to hear, why didn't this guy get a life?
Well, that's a good question. Why do you think?
Why doesn't he get a life? Because he's probably some poor, pathetic little being that... He can't confront people face to face, and so he has to do it over the telephone lines and the radio waves. But Eric, please hang up on him.
Hold on one moment.
That was the magic phrase, and it gives me somewhat
of a perverse pleasure to do that. Oh, that felt good. Ah, we've had people pile into the studio to watch that, and we have a bunch more calls coming in. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Eric,
radio off the air.
Well, he's off the air, but thank you for calling. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage. Uh-huh. Okay. Let's get back to some news items. Susan. Hi, how are you? You're not speaking tonight?
No, I have laryngitis.
Oh, laryngitis. There's a lot of bugs going around. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. I mean, it's the season for bugs.
I've got a sore throat, and I had a cough, and I really felt under the weather. It's like one of those times of the year where, everything just seems miserable.
Yeah, well, have no fear, Eric. In like 4, maybe 5 weeks, it'll be beautiful out.
You mean it'll be
sunny
spring?
Spring, yeah, spring. Green,
wow.
No wind, maybe a nice breeze.
Nice boat ride. I can just hear it now.
Yeah, I can smell it too. Barbecue, it'll be nice.
Barbecues on boats can be dangerous.
Yeah, you're right. You're
really
right.
Can.
Okay, no barbecue. Sandwich.
Would you do me a favor and pull me some news off the Associated Press Newswire?
Sure. Very quickly.
Thank you. Just whatever is there, and I'll read it. We have to keep our public informed as to what's going on. This is an item which appeared in the newspaper about a week or so ago. It's about yet another in a series of terrorist acts, except this one is rather different. The teddy bear is back at South Nassau Community's Hospital, but his kidnapping remains a mystery. Yes, that's correct. About a week before Christmas, a note signed by Scrooge was found hanging on a bulletin board in the hospital's coronary care unit. "We have snatched your bear," it read. The victim had sat for 4 years overlooking the hospital's coronary care unit, a gift from a grateful patient. On December 16th, the bear disappeared. A few days later, a picture was sent to the hospital's community relations department. The bear had been bound, gagged, and blindfolded, and a gun was pointed at its head. The department also received a closed tin can with a napkin marked Bear Ashes. Hospital officials x-rayed it. It was empty. But Monday morning, the bear, now named Ransom, was back in his usual place. Somebody put him next to 6 other bears donated after the kidnapping. "He seemed to be in fairly good shape," said Michael Rudzenko, hospital executive director. "Whoever got him took good care of him." What more can I say about a story like that? That's where we're going. That's where the 1980s are leading us. Terrorist attacks on teddy bears. And what else do we have here? You want to hear about skinheads? That's right, skinheads. They're all over the place now. This is an article that someone sent in from Time Magazine. By the way, let me give out the address for those of you who want to send in interesting things. It's Brain Damage. Sure you know how to spell that. Care of WUSB, State University of New York, at Stony Brook. And that's in Stony Brook, New York. Zip 11794. And our phone number, 632-6901, area code 516. We'll be taking some more calls. 632-6901, area code 516. Now, about these skinheads, in San Jose, they threatened to hang a black woman who was attempting to enter a public park. In another Bay Area community, a teenage boy was thrown through a plate glass window when he tried to stop a group of them from pasting an anti-Semitic poster. And in Chicago, one of their leaders was indicted after a spree of anti-Semitic vandalism. The bizarre force behind the wave of racist incidents, skinheads loosely as organized groups of violent youths who may be emerging as the kiddie core of the neo-Nazi movement, declares Los Angeles detective Michael Brandt bluntly. They are a threat to the moral fiber of our society. The rampage of young toughs is the latest manifestation of racial violence that has resurfaced during the Reagan years. In 1984, members of the right-wing terrorist group, The Order, assassinated Denver talk show host Alan Berg, then went on a year-long spree of robbery and destruction. In 1982, in Cleveland, a member of the racist group Aryan Nations murdered 2 blacks and a white man he mistakenly thought was Jewish. Last week, the National Council of Churches warned that such violence had reached epidemic proportions in the U.S., the brutal tally between 1980 and 1986, 121 murders, 302 assaults, and 301 cross-burnings. Concluded the council report, bigoted violence has become the critical criminal justice issue of the...
Friday night show. That was very impressive. Weirdest people in the world. There was a bum who wanted to run for president and promised no taxes.
Does this have anything to do with skinheads?
No. You said in the beginning of the show you can, we'll talk about anything.
That's true. That's true. You got me there. But this Morton Downey person, okay?
Yeah.
I don't like him. I just wanted to say that. That's all. I just got a kick out of saying I don't like him because I think he's obnoxious and I think he's a jerk. And I know he'd like to hear that. But that's just my opinion. And you see, my opinion is just my opinion. I like to hear other people's opinions, too. I assume your opinion is different.
Yeah. Yeah, the Ku Klux Klan on one day. That was my favorite one.
Ah. Well, we're not going to have the Ku Klux Klan on this show, I can tell you that much. Because when you give time to bizarre groups like that, you know, that preach all kinds of hatred and things, it gets more people involved in it somehow, because more people see it and more people say, wow, these groups really exist, and maybe my wild, strange fantasies can come true if I join this group.
Even though I hate Mr. Radio, and I know a lot of people do, I like to see him on the show.
You like to see him on the show or hear him on the show?
I mean, hear him on the show.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm sure he'll take that as a sign from the gods. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Why do we have the same three people calling all the time on this program?
Other people are intimidated by those same three people. I want to ask you something.
I'd like to ask you... Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Go down to the microphone because okay. I can't hear you if you don't
I mean, I know this Mr. Radio guy isn't 102% credible, but I want to know if you were a hippie in the 70s.
No, I was not a hippie in the 70s.
Well, what's the definition of
a hippie? Nor was I one in the 60s. I don't really know. But I've always believed in just being, you know, myself. And not saying I'm this, I'm that. See, I'm not registered as anything, you know, voting-wise. I'm an independent. But what bothers me is hearing all this election talk this past week, actually, and knowing that when the primaries come to New York, I won't be allowed to vote because I'm not assigned to a party. Now, is that fair? Is that democratic? You see what I'm saying? It's something that's rather disturbing, and I wonder, looking at the whole election process, people have dropped out of the election race this week based on one state, based on the returns of one state.
That's true.
I am never going to get a chance to say to these people, I want to vote for you, I don't want to vote for you.
Well,
they're dropping out now.
You can vote for them, can't you? Write in?
But they're not running.
Well, they could be, if you write them in, I guess. I don't know, that... Is an 80s independent a 70s hippie?
That's a bizarre look at it.
I mean, to be
independent, you have to be a hippie?
Okay, here. This dictionary, whatever this is, the New York Times Dictionary of Correct Usage, says a hippie, a person who has chosen informal, unconventional attire, grooming, and lifestyle. I guess that comes under lifestyle. Usually as an expression of nonconformist attitude towards the establishment.
Well, look up the word individual. See what it says there.
Individual. H-I.
I mean, that sounds like the definition to the word individual to me.
Okay. Well,
one who does not conform.
Individual is not in this dictionary. Well, this isn't a normal dictionary. It's the
Let me see that dictionary.
Misunderstood, misused, and mispronounced words.
You're right. Individual is not in this dictionary. Oh, misunderstood. Well, if individual isn't a misunderstood word, I don't know what is.
Or maybe it's too misunderstood.
I'd really like to talk about this election business. So if you could just stand there for a minute while I check these two calls to see if they're anybody different or if there's just the same old people again. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Let's call Mike Girardo.
Same person. That was the same person, wasn't it?
I think so.
If it wasn't the same person, I'm sorry I hung up on you, but I'm just sick of hearing from the same people all the time. If you're a new person, give us a call, 632-6901.
I know you're 516.
Susan knows you're out there. Hey. Susan, why don't you issue a special appeal to those people to call up?
All those people that I talked to this week, and I talked to you this week, and you all said, you know, we were going to call, but please call.
Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
I want Susan to host the show. She does a better job than you, Eric Corley. She's...
Okay. Well, getting back to the election business, though.
Thank you.
It just doesn't seem democratic. You know, because when Election Day finally does come and we get our choice to vote between these two candidates in a country this size, you only get two candidates.
No, you have your choice to vote for anybody.
That's
They're
true.
They're pushing for you to vote for one of the two.
But let's be realistic. Does anyone else have the vaguest chance of getting in the double percentage marks?
Well, if people stop thinking that that's the only two choices, then yes. But see, the media has us thinking that that's it.
Okay, we have a flurry of calls here. I don't want to lose them, so let's see what's there. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hey again, you can hang up.
Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hello?
Yes?
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, I'm a different caller than you usually have.
Huh? That's true, you are a different caller.
Uh-huh.
I can tell by the voice.
Hmm?
I can tell by... Well, what do you think of elections?
Oh, well, actually, I wanted to talk about the skinhead thing.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I'm moving a little too fast here. Let's go back to the skinheads, and then we'll talk about elections later.
Yeah, well, this was, like, a big problem with the hardcore music scene.
Yeah.
Didn't tell, like, who was into it for the fashion or whatever. And, you know, when you start taking fashionable things as a statement of, like, leads to get into big problems. Well, I think calling them the skinheads, you know, is pretty bad. You just should have called them fascists who don't have hair or something, you know.
Uh-huh.
Because there are a lot of people out now, like Sinead O'Connor and stuff. I don't think she's a fascist, but she doesn't have any hair.
Yeah, that's true. Well,
and, like, I saw a picture of you from a few years ago, and you had long hair, but I don't think you were a hippie. You're just, you know.
Well, like that's that just hairstyle. It. See, I don't like that way of categorizing people, and we seem to have a need to do that, you know.
Why?
What's that?
Why?
Why do we? Well, because it makes us feel a little bit more comfortable to say, well, this person, you can explain his behavior because he's this and because he's that. And I don't think there's a single thing other than human that I would feel safe categorizing myself as. Not a single thing. I really cannot think of something, and if someone can, please let me know.
Well, what about that?
Except maybe a babbling idiot or something. What's that?
What about considering yourself an individual?
Yes, an individual is kind of the anti-term of categorizing somebody as something else. Yeah, I consider myself an individual because I don't consider myself anything else.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I would not want to be called a hippie. I would not want to be called a conservative or a liberal, a Democrat or a Republican. I don't feel comfortable with any of it.
Well, we sort of have a little bit of each.
Yeah, I agree. I have a little bit of everything in me.
But it's whatever one dominates.
At the moment.
Yeah.
People change. People are always changing. What I say now may not hold true, you know, 20 minutes from now.
Definitely.
And I think, you know, we should be encouraged to think for ourselves and not have to stick to something because we said, you know, well, this is how I stand. Things change. Circumstances are constantly changing and people are constantly changing. Now, I'd like to get your opinion on a story that is in today's Newsday. Just give me a moment to find it. It's rather bizarre. You may have already seen it. 16-year-old held in axe slayings of his family in Minnesota.
Why do we have to know about that?
Well, because of the way they report the story. This kid who shaved the sides of his head and fashioned his hair into a spiked punk style the day of the slayings was arrested after an all-night search. He killed his parents, his brother, and his sister. Now, before that, he was a studious, church-going youth. Now, all of a sudden, he shaves the sides of his head and becomes a punk rocker and kills his whole family. Now, that's the way this Newsday story is reported. What do you make of it?
I think it's a plot by Newsday. They've got it in against, you know, people who, like, dress differently than they approve of.
Uh-huh.
So they, like, write all these stories that they can about them.
Well, why do you think somebody would suddenly dress differently and go crazy like that?
I don't know. I guess it's from... you know, following things like the Marines and stuff like that, you know, sort of like a uniform.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that also brings up another thing. I saw the film School Days this last week. Have you heard of that film?
School Days, no.
New Spike Lee film, the one who did She's Gotta Have It. And a lot of the film has to do with the black fraternities and sororities that pervade various campuses. And one thing that these people have to do is they have to shave their heads, they have to talk in a certain way and march in a certain precise order, and it's very much like the military. It's very militaristic in the way they do things and the way they never even think of questioning what they're doing. And
make themselves be a part.
Yeah.
To show that they're a part to the rest of the world.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we have that kind of thing right here on the Stony Brook campus.
I know, I've seen it.
Yeah, what have you seen?
Well, you see these people walking around and making right angles at every corner, holding these big paddy whack things.
Uh-huh.
With us, you know, strange haircuts and bizarre clothing.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's not really bizarre, it's just, you know, out of the norm.
Now, what I don't understand is the administration of all these colleges seems to encourage this.
They encourage it?
They do. They most definitely do. They want there to be fraternities and sororities. And I was wondering if you had any idea why.
I guess they feel it's something that they'll look back on and come back to.
Well, I've got a theory on the whole thing.
Okay, let's hear it.
And that theory is that when you're in college, you have a lot of energy, and you have a lot of creative power, and you tend to get involved in a lot of interesting movements, organizations, and activities, some of which go against the quote-unquote interests of society and of, you know, the school, the administration, and all that kind of thing. Now, what better way to harmlessly dispose of those energies than to channel them into something that's completely meaningless?
It's pretty good.
I think it's damn good, and I think it's the truth. Because sororities and fraternities are completely meaningless. It's not a damn thing they do for anybody. They make people lose their sense of individuality. They make the place an embarrassment to everybody else. I'm probably going to get killed for saying this, but they're completely meaningless.
But
whereas,
don't they set up some friendships that will last a long time?
All right, friendships. But you can set up friendships in the bathroom. I mean, you don't need a sorority to do that.
Well, some people can't do it so easily.
Well, there's all kinds of groups that are formed on campuses, and certainly 10 years ago there was more activity on this campus as far as activism and environmental protection and that kind of thing. Everyone had a cause to believe in, had something to pursue and talk about. Whether it's conservative, whether it's liberal, communist, whatever you're into, a college is the place to express yourself. Now, a sorority, a fraternity, you just march around, have bake sales, and chant weird things. I mean, it's funny, yeah, but you're missing a lot.
Yeah.
And one thing I got out of Stony Brook,
they're the ones that put on, like, the biggest parties.
Yeah, well, because it's cool. It's cool to be involved with them, so everybody shows up.
For some reason, they have a lot of money.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Where does that money come from?
To, like, the radio station or...
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The dues are very expensive, someone in the room is telling me.
Uh-huh. I'm not surprised. I mean, the thing is, these groups are very well organized. They're national groups. You know, there's chapters all over the place. And in every depiction I've ever seen of them, whether it be something from Animal House or whether it be a documentary, I find them to be frightening. I find them to be very distasteful. And just not at all in keeping with the individualistic spirit of a college campus. And Stony Brook happens to have a lot of things going for it, and I really would like to see some more. Well, let's just put it this way. There are several big rocks on campus, right?
Oh, that...
And all the new ones that have been put there by administration are for fraternities, and they just say things like Phi, Beta, Phi, and all that kind of thing, and they stay the same all the time. But there's one big rock on Nichols Road that ever since the 1960s, and I remember this because I was around here in the 1960s when I was a little kid, that rock has been repainted every week. And I've seen it say, stop the Vietnam War. I've seen it say, impeach Nixon. I've seen it say, impeach Reagan. And I've seen it say, I love Jennifer, you know. It changes week to week, and that is something more in keeping with the college spirit than some stupid Greek fraternity.
Do you think archaeologists are going to use that to find out about our culture?
Well, I don't know if you can... I've always wondered what happens to all the paint that's on that thing. I mean...
Well, it probably stays there, but, you know, future archaeologists or whatever you call them, they'll be able to take off one layer of paint at a time.
That'd be incredible if they could do that. That would really be incredible. I don't know if that's possible.
Probably turn out to be like a rock that could fit in your hands.
Yeah, the rock must not have been very big to start with.
Yeah.
But that kind of thing, I'd like to see more things like that. Unfortunately, when you do things like that, people actually get in trouble for just expressing themselves. Now, how can painting a rock hurt anybody?
Or putting a USB bumper sticker on a stop sign.
Well, yeah, that's another wave, and I saw a USB bumper sticker on a road sign the other day, but that's something else. Putting up your thoughts in whatever way, as long as you're not destroying something in the process, if you're just adding to the look of the place, you know?
Well, if you put a USB bumper sticker on a stop sign, you may be confusing somebody.
Yeah, who might try to stop WUSB, which could very well happen. But there's all kinds of ways to express yourself on a campus this size, whether it be by just speaking out, joining groups, starting groups, you know, be yourself, be different. That's, you know, it's so important because once you leave a campus, it's so hard to do that. You know, it's almost acceptable to be crazy here, to be completely out of your mind. It's almost acceptable. But in the real world, it's just, it's a lot harder to get away with.
Can I just ask you a question?
Where did you come from? Who's this?
It's me. It's the same person.
No, you're a different person. I know voices here, but go ahead.
What did you say about the incident with the axe murder? Could you repeat that story again? Something about him being...
Oh, sure. I'd love to repeat this story. It's about a kid in Minnesota who shaved the sides of his head and fashioned his hair into a spiked punk style. And then when he was satisfied with that, he went out and killed his brother, sister, mother, and father.
And they couldn't explain it because of what? They said that he was like a church-going...
He was a studious church-going youth before that. They do say that he indicated he was having some trouble with his parents. One student said he was having trouble with his dad because of a tape he had bought, and he didn't want him listening to it. Now,
right. That's just the whole thing. I mean, what drives people to do that kind of thing? So he had his hair spiked and he shaved it or whatever. But what drove him to do that, you know? I mean, it's like... You know, if you tell this boy, oh, you can't listen to this, and you've got to do what we feel, and you've got to go to church, and you've got to be studious. I mean, what do you expect from a kid like that? You know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm not saying that's why he killed somebody, or that's why he killed his parents. But, you know, they're making a big deal of the fact that he was church-going or whatever, and I think that's like a load of bull, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, it certainly doesn't do much for people who want to walk around with shaved heads. I mean... We have two things here. I've read two stories, one from Time, one from Newsday, that say people, you see someone walking around with a shaved head, they're going to be dangerous. They're either going to be a Nazi or they're going to be an axe murderer.
Okay, all right. So people are saying skinheads or whatever is the problem. But what causes that? I mean, that's what they've got to look at. Not the fact that skinheads is a problem, but what it is that makes that happen.
What it is that makes them skinheads or what it is that makes them crazy?
Yeah, whatever. I mean, you know, and classifying them like that is, like, really bad.
Because I know plenty of people who shave their heads, you know? Some of them female, in fact, and they're not skinheads. I don't consider them skinheads. I don't consider them anything. I consider them people I know, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's the difference. When you start saying this person is this, that person is that, then you expect them to do things, and they expect themselves to do things, and it gets really distorted and
yeah,
bizarre.
Yeah, it does. And then they start blaming it on, it's the music they listen to or something like that. You know, it's not because of... environmental factors. It's because of something like music or a book they read or something like that, you know?
Yeah, and then...
And then it gets completely blown out of proportion. They go, it's like that case, I don't know if you heard about this, but some boy was listening to one of those dial-in sex services,
uh-huh.
Those numbers, and he called it like 32 times in one day, or I don't know, something like that, like excessive amounts, and then he goes out and rapes somebody, you know? And the parents are suing... the phone service for causing that. They say, oh, it's the phone service's fault that it happened. You
well,
know?
Do you think there was a relation?
Well, there might be a relation, but, I mean, what drives the kid to do that in the first place, you know? I mean, he's obviously really mixed up about sex, or he's mixed up about something that he has to do that, you know? And when the parents start blaming it on the phone service... I think that they should look at themselves and say, well, maybe we're doing something wrong instead of blaming it on something else, you know?
Uh-huh. If you had kids, which I assume you don't, and you found them calling that obscene call service, well, not obscene, that's not the right word for it, but let's just say erotic message service.
Right.
How would you handle it?
Okay, I would sit down with the child, if I had a child, and say, okay, tell me what you like about this. You know, and then they would tell me, and then I would say to them, okay, now this is what I don't like about it.
Uh-huh.
Then I would explain it to them like that. I wouldn't yank the phone out of their hand and say, this is whatever. It's like, and then hang it up and say, don't ever do it again, and scold them or something like that. No, I mean, you have to be very, you have to treat the child like a person, not like some sort of like an underling that just does whatever you say, and that's how you should raise them, like just beat them into whatever you believe, but at least explain to them why you think it's harmful, instead of saying, oh, don't do it, you know?
Uh-huh.
You have to explain yourself. You have to articulate that.
Uh-huh.
That's how I think it should be done. And of course, you know, probably in a lot of families it's not being done this way. It's just like the parents don't want to deal with it. Like, don't listen to that music, or don't do this, don't watch this on TV. You know, and they don't explain what's wrong with it. If they do that, if they could make the child see the light. I mean, when you're growing up and you're young, you're very confused about things. And when the parents just say, oh, you know, this is harmful, and they don't tell you why, you know, that can do one of two things. That'll arouse your curiosity, or that'll repress you, you know?
Either way,
it's harmful.
Do you think we're moving ahead or behind in the last, let's say, decade on such issues as being honest to our kids?
I don't know. I wouldn't be familiar with that. Uh-huh. I don't know. But that example of the parents raising this lawsuit against that sex service. Yes, the sex service on the phone, yeah, they're sleazeballs, whoever is setting up this business and whatever. But, I mean, you know, is it their fault? I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that you can blame it completely on them. I don't think you can blame rapes on Playboy magazine or a violent act on punk music or whatever. You know?
Well, do you...
There has to be some sort of circumstance to set up that kind of person.
Can you blame violence on TV or in the films?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, now, isn't that a contradiction?
What do you mean?
You're blaming violence on what they see on TV, but you're not blaming sexual crimes on what they hear...
It's not a sole blaming. I mean, children, when they're growing up, they have to be told... They have to be made to understand. One of two things will happen. Either the parents will completely not care what the child thinks, or they'll just say, well, this is a massive generalization, though, but the parent will say, well, don't listen to it, you know, and not say why. Don't watch this and not say why. Or they'll just not care and say, oh, this is fine, you know. It's done to different degrees, but TV is like a widely accepted thing. I don't know why. I mean... Everything on TV seems to be okay with everybody, you know. It doesn't make a big difference that Mr. T is shooting up some people and they're still living. And
well,
it's like,
television is the biggest propaganda tool that ever existed, as far
right.
as I'm concerned. I mean, it even surpasses radio. And what's fascinating about it, if we think about television in other countries, like the Soviet Union, we'll say to ourselves, yes, of course, they're using it as a propaganda tool, because they're very blatantly using it as a propaganda tool. There's no question about it, and I'm sure they don't even deny that.
Well, also, it works completely within the stream, the flow of society, you know, because it is, everything that goes on TV is, like, marketed and everything like that. Something like punk music or some sort of music or some literature that works against that grade is always going to get picked on.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that's another reason why television... nobody really makes that big a fuss about the fact that, you know, you see all sorts of violence on TV and nobody makes, you know, it's acceptable there because it works within the system.
Well, my point is that television here, too, is propaganda, but it's much more subtle. So we don't say to ourselves, yes, this is propaganda, they're feeding us. It's just certain values that are instilled, certain things. I mean, when you're watching a melodrama on TV and something always happens this way, and you know it's going to happen next. It's both bad writing, but it's also the moral values that they want to instill upon you.
Right.
Now, when a writer writes something for network TV, I mean, he can't just write whatever he wants. The network president then has to get involved, and it's really just a handful of people that decide what it is that you see. And if they don't like the idea, it doesn't get on, period. And what's the person going to do? How is he going to challenge that? It costs literally millions of dollars to produce a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that easy, you know, to get individual views. I think by far and away, the best things on TV are in public television. Unfortunately, most of that stuff doesn't even come from this country.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same with radio. Most of the stuff that isn't controlled by marketing analysis is the only good stuff around. You know, I mean, everything that's
that sells pimple cream to you, it's like absolute garbage. They're not saying anything to you. They're just like trying to push products on you and play songs.
It's all selling. All selling. Listen, I want to thank you for calling. I want to get some of these other calls.
Okay, thanks.
632-6901 is our telephone number, area code 516. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
You know, speaking of television, I think that there's good points and bad points about television. One of the bad points, and speaking of violence on television, is that most people, when they're talking about violent shows, they're talking about formula shows. What I mean by that is the detective or the police officer, they go out, they find the bad guy, they shoot the bad guy, and everything's fine. But what I think television fails to do, and the reason why violence, I suppose, is on the upswing because of television, or indirectly because of television, is that they fail to show the consequences of what happens after the police officer shoots the bad guy. He doesn't just get a pat on the back and say, okay, that was good job. You know, there's a lot of paperwork, internal affairs investigations, and things like that. And also, I think that some shows that do show the consequences of violence, whether it be sexual violence or physical violence or whatever, the shows that do show the consequences can actually be a deterrent to violence. People see this person shoots this other person and he gets caught and he gets put in jail or whatever, and they can see, well, that's what's going to happen to me if I do that, and so I won't do that. I think that the problem is definitely twofold, and it's up to the network programmers to show what happens, show the consequences of violent acts.
I think there's a very definite difference between the shows that you would see in the 1960s and shows such as Cagney and Lacey, Hill Street Blues, St. Elsewhere, those shows that do show you more than what just happens on the surface.
Definitely. I think that television programming per se is probably getting a little better because there is a lot of lobbying and a lot of pressure groups that are saying, well, listen, okay, show it, fine, it's a fact of life, and of course it's exaggerated dramatically or drastically, but it is a fact of life. But also show what happens if you, in fact, do the things that the people on TV do, you know, and show that it's not just all, there's consequences involved in what you do. And that's, I think that that's happening. And while I'm not an avid TV watcher myself because I don't particularly have the time, I think the television is improving. But again, there's a massive amount of improving needed. But I think that it's heading in that general direction.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Sure.
632-6901. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hey, Eric, how you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Okay, I was just wondering if you got any feedback from the Olympic Committee.
You mean from last week?
Yeah.
Last week we were thinking of naming ourselves an Olympic radio station. Well, you see, we never actually decided to do that. We were just considering it. We got a call from someone who said he was from the Olympic Committee. I don't know if he really was, but I don't think we got in any trouble, no.
Oh, because I just got a newsletter from my credit card company.
Uh-huh.
And they have some information about the Olympic Committee. They say that the Olympics, well, they let certain groups use their name, like the Special Olympics and the Rat Olympics and the K-9 Olympics.
The Rat Olympics?
Yes, that's what it says.
Okay.
They refused to let the gay and lesbian athletes use it for the gay games, which took place in 82 and 86.
Stands to reason, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know. But my credit card company refused to turn over the money to Visa, which gives money to the Olympic Committee. And they gave the money instead to the Gay and Lesbian Olympics.
And which group was that?
My credit card is called Working Assets.
Now, all right, you have, I guess, what's called a conscientious credit card, eh?
Yeah.
Can you tell us something about that? Because I've always been curious.
Well, they sent me a letter one day that said that if I would get a money fund, actually, with them, they wouldn't invest it in South Africa or nuclear arms or anything like that. And I didn't have any money to give them a money fund, but they said they had a credit card, too, so I went for it. And I just started getting it, and they donate money to charity, like to Nicaraguan groups that are, you know, not like the Contras, like groups that are doing good stuff down there. And they say they do this stuff. I kind of believe them. And they have profiles of their, I'm looking at it now, the newsletter, profiles of their cardholders. And they talk about people who are, one is a political coordinator for the California Abortion Rights Action League, and the other is a co-op housing organizer. And, you know, instead of looking at, you know, specific capitalists, they look at people who work more for society.
Uh-huh. And what is their interest rate?
Right now it's 17.5%.
That's not bad.
That's 2% lower than my Citibank card was.
That's not bad at all. Now, this new Visa card that I just got has a a rate of something like 21.5%, and the catch with it was that I had to get a cash advance of $2,000. You know, they had to send me a check for $2,000.
You had to?
Yeah, there was no other way to get the card. And I said, well, you know, why not? Why not have another Visa card? You know, it's kind of fun to have these things collecting. And so, you know, I got the check for $2,000, and I said, okay, if I pay it back right away, you know, won't be any problem. But silly me.
No, there's fees. They get you with that.
Yeah, not realizing that a cash advance is a certain charge for a cash advance, and there's an interest charge. And then by the time you pay that, certain other charges have piled up, and it never seems to end, you know?
Oh, yeah.
The whole thing has cost me about $17 so far, but, you know, I've got these cards here, but they don't even feel like real cards, you know? They're really soft.
Oh, they're getting thinner and smaller?
Well, these ones are. My real Visa card isn't thin. It's a nice, solid, sturdy card, but this card isn't.
Hmm. Well, I don't know. If you want, I can tell you the phone number for this place. I don't know if it would be considered advertising or anything.
Well, it's a conscientious group, so I guess if they have political ideals and conscientious, well, give the phone number.
Yeah, it's called Working Assets Money Fund or Bank, I don't know. And their number is 800-344-1140.
Okay. Give them a call and just ask them about what their feelings are, you know, and how it all relates. It's an interesting concept because a lot of money is thrown around on Visa cards. A lot of money is being invested. And if you can find a group that, you know, that has some sort of conscience when it comes to that, that's...
They donate a nickel from every time you use their card to a charity.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's good for the people that never get around to doing it themselves.
Yeah. And a nickel is nothing, but, it's a lot of nickels. I guess it adds up on their end.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for calling.
Sure. Take care.
632-6901, area code 516. And let's see if anybody out there is from Connecticut. Connecticut callers, give us a call. 516-632-6901. Hopefully our transmitter is still getting out to Connecticut. I mean, is it possible that we're not reaching Connecticut anymore? Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Is Howard there?
Is Howard here?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll see if I can help you there. That is not the topic, obviously, but I transferred him to another line. And our number is 632-6901, area code 516, where we get the occasional strange... He was on for a good 20 minutes waiting to say that, you know. 632-6901. And if you do get a ring, be patient and hang on, because we will get to you eventually, and of course you won't be charged to hear... the phone ring. I mean, if we were to pick up the phone and say, yes, hold on, and we put you on hold like some other radio stations do, then you'd have to pay for the time you were on hold. And that can amount to a lot of money if you're on hold for 20 minutes and you're calling from Bombay or something, you know? So that's why we let the phone ring all the time. 632-6901. Of course, if you dial the wrong number, you have no way of knowing you're ringing the right number. But just dial slowly and carefully, and you should get through. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
I'd like to, talk about... How that, you know that kid who, murdered his family?
Yeah, where are you calling from?
Fairfield.
Fairfield, Connecticut?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, what would you like to say?
It's just there was another caller just here a while ago, and he was saying, and maybe he wasn't saying this, it sounded like it, he was saying that, the music would drive him into that, because, you said that the kid, got punk hairdo and everything.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think that's, he's a moron, that kid, because, I listen to that music and everything. My mom doesn't like it, but, I don't go out and, I'm, real preppy and everything. I got, a short haircut and everything.
Uh-huh.
And the kids must be a moron, because people who, listen to the music and say that they're going to be like those people, the people who play the music aren't like that. Because, I read the magazines, and they have interviews with people, and they just don't seem like maybe they are, but I don't think they are, you know?
Yeah. Now, what when you say you listen to that kind of music, what is that kind of music to you?
Heavy metal, thrash, hardcore.
Uh-huh. Do you know about the thrash show we have on about, 2:30, 3 o'clock this morning?
Yeah, I listened to it. Yeah.
Okay, it's good to let people know that show exists. You listen to that kind of music. Now, what kind of music do you really not like?
It's not that I like everything, actually, but I'd just rather listen to that kind of music. I don't like Bryan Adams.
Uh-huh.
Or, Whitney Houston and stuff like that. It's not that bad. I just don't like, I don't like the, rock and roll, you know what I mean? I don't know what,
Rockabilly?
Well, I guess so. I don't know.
Now, do you have a negative view of the people that do like that kind of thing?
Oh, no, no. All my friends do. I'm like the only one in my, like, group of my friends who like that kind of music, you know?
So do they treat you any differently because of it?
They tease me, but they don't mean it. You know, they're just like, oh, your music stinks and everything, you know?
Uh-huh.
But we like each other and everything.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. How old are you, if I can ask? Excuse me?
I'm 13.
Great. Well, it sounds like you're off to a good start as far as ideals and values and things like that. And I wish you luck and you know, pass it on to other people.
Yes.
Thanks for calling.
Yep. See you later.
Bye. 632-6901, area code 516. Yes, we did get a call from Connecticut. I'd like to hear some more calls from Connecticut because a lot of our listeners are there. I mean, this is Saturday. You know, the rates are down. The rates are down all day long on Saturday. No matter what phone company you subscribe to, the rates are down. And after 11 o'clock, too. It doesn't matter on Saturday, but, I mean, if you're really concerned, it's as cheap as it's going to get. So give us a call, 632-6901. I've even heard rumors that we get to Massachusetts sometimes. Is that possible? Massachusetts? Let's see. Let's see what we can do. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, hello.
Yes.
I had down my speakerphone.
Okay.
Listening right there. I was just listening to one of the comments one of your last callers made about the influence of television on children. It seems to me that the society is suffering from culture shock as it is, okay, and all these influences, these stimuli are coming in, and people just don't seem to be able to handle them in their own way for whatever reason.
Uh-huh.
And that may be one of the problems, if you're still there.
Yeah. Can you go into a little bit more detail on that?
Well, you shocked me when I picked up the phone. I had you on the, it was ringing for me.
Uh-huh. Oh, we get to everybody.
Okay, great. Well, basically, okay, you're talking about the television set.
Uh-huh.
And when you're watching what your kids watch, it's hard for you to say. You may be looking at it as blatantly commercial.
Well, you may see all kinds of hidden innuendos in, like, Pee-wee's Playhouse or something that they don't see.
Well, mm-hmm. that you know, that's going a little far. I'm talking about the mass of the universe, the blatant commercialism. Okay, but you go to Pee-wee's Playhouse. Okay, take just that. And if you see something there, and you see something in every other show that your children watch, okay, and that you watch,
uh-huh.
It's trying to get a point across to you or to somebody or reach some target audience. It's hard to distinguish what that value system they're trying to get across to whoever the viewer is going to be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So in that case, I don't see how it's easy for someone. I'm not getting across as well as I should to make the decision based on a moral standpoint that basically. We've been left behind by the technology that we have today. We have the print media. Okay, we have the television. All this is coming in, and to a large degree, even the modern people, even the people who've grown up with it, are not acclimated to having this much coming in.
Sort of a culture shock.
Yeah, that's what I said when I got on.
Right.
What you're treating in all this is symptoms of that culture shock.
The same thing kind of holds true for computers, too. I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with that world, but there's tons of information suddenly flowing in, you know, at high speeds, and there's no way everybody can read it all. It's just, it's so much. How do you analyze all this stuff? Same thing with TV. Suddenly we have 36 channels to choose from on our cable sets.
But all this combined, okay, has to add up to some people, okay? A lot of the people are looking forward now to the markets in high technology, going to the younger people who have supposedly grown up with computers in the schools, okay, also a TV generation like the one before, but more acclimated to high technology.
Uh-huh.
A lot of these people, and I don't know, I might be included in them, I don't know if anybody else out there is, the younger generation, somehow still feel the culture shock and still feel a little lack of being able to get all the stimuli that's coming in. And when you look at how large that is, okay, and the medium and everything that hits you, and things changing from the instant, it's hard to set a value system up from that. You know what I'm saying? So when you're trying to teach your children something, okay, trying to get something across to them about what you feel life is about, trying to give them a little input. I'm not getting across so well.
Well, I think you've touched upon a number of interesting things. Do you have children yourself?
Yes, I have one. He doesn't live here with me.
Oh.
Unfortunately, I get to visit him.
Well, do you think kids today are living in a healthy environment as far as television is concerned?
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. It's hard to tell.
Yeah.
It's really hard to tell. As far as television is concerned, if you read Calvin and Hobbes, the cartoon, I don't know.
That's a great cartoon. I like that a lot.
It is excellent. But if you remember, there was one where the tiger goes to Calvin. He's like, what did Marx mean when he said that religion was the opiate of the masses? And the kid just sits up. He's like, he means he ain't seen nothing yet. And the TV blinks on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
but, you know, the reason I like that cartoon a lot is because the kid is fantasizing completely. I mean, this week he was an owl, you know?
Oh, that was great.
That was amazing. And this kid...
When he doesn't have to go to school?
Yeah, and you see it from his eyes. You see his teddy bear, you know, walking around and talking to him. But everybody else, when you see it through their eyes, he's just a little stuffed toy. And the kid is just a kid. He's not an owl.
Exactly.
Now, there are some people who would say, that's dangerous. The kid doesn't have a sense of reality. That's crazy. I mean, part of the joy of growing up is fantasy, you know, is pretending.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm trying to say. Some people would think that a lot of things are dangerous, okay? You and I are coming from one viewpoint, or probably from different viewpoints, obviously. And there are so many other people out there. Maybe some people who don't have liberal conceptions of the world, okay? Creationists.
Uh-huh.
All these different people that have to live with us, and everybody's got a different view of what is offending them coming through the media, or what is dangerous. That's hard to tell when there's so much stimuli out there.
Uh-huh. Well, now, I guess everyone's going to be offended by something, but as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't really bother me as long as there's, you know, as long as I have my public television and my Bravo network and the kind of things I can turn to and you know, feel good about life watching, it won't bother me so much that the moronic stuff is still there, you know. I don't know about the downright dangerous things, you know, but...
Well, thank God it doesn't bother you, but apparently it bothers a lot of people.
Yeah.
Okay, and Albert Gore running for president is kind of scary.
Yeah, well, I mean, it bothers these people, but why should they inflict their feelings on me?
Well, you know... I agree with you 100%. You know, I'm behind you on that. But they aren't. A lot of people aren't. A lot of people feel that they have the right to sit by and dictate what is given to them in terms of media stimuli, and not just media, societal stimuli. They want to dictate because they are offended by it personally, and they think you should be too. And that's obvious.
Uh-huh.
And it's great that you have a view that's more liberal, but at the same time, there are a lot of other people that want to be accommodated, and that's just not going to go away.
Okay, well, I get to some of these other calls. What town are you calling from?
I'm calling from right here in Stony Brook.
Okay, well, thanks very much for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
632-6901, that's our telephone number, area code 516, and good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi.
Hi.
I'd like to go back and speak about the young man who slayed his family.
Okay.
I happen to feel that most of these problems stem from the home. He probably changed his, you know, the way he was acting, maybe made friends with some new people, and started listening to a different kind of music, and his parents didn't approve. I mean, it's obvious. I mean, from the article, I read it.
Yeah.
And, when your parents don't approve of you, you try and, you know, you say, you know, they hate me, and you try and do more, because you say they already hate me, so what difference does it make?
And actually, you're just kind of fighting for attention.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So, I mean, it takes, you know, an extreme to, you know, go ahead and kill them, but as far as, you know, just being a rebel... Because if your parents don't approve of you, that's like the most important thing, is the approval of your parents.
Uh-huh.
And your family. They must have been so much ridicule for him to go ahead and do something like that.
Yeah. Now, do you think it's something endemic in the kind of music he was listening to?
I don't even think that it really made a difference. It was probably just different from what his parents were used to. I have friends who are going through a similar thing, not so drastic. But, someone gets a haircut and his mother's crying.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's ridiculous. And he goes ahead and tells me that when he goes to college, he's going to shave his head.
Uh-huh.
That he's going to be, that his parents are going to, totally hit the roof. And that's what he wants.
Well, why does he want that?
I don't know. I mean, I can't tell you why, but I think that I would feel the same way. But there's no way to explain it. It's just the natural reaction.
Well, now, why would someone be upset to see somebody with a different hairstyle? I mean, why does that make so much of a difference to us?
I don't know why it does. Parents are strange sometimes. They're from a different generation. They're not used to it. And I guess they don't like it when their children are changing because they're growing up. And, the more different that their children are, it seems like the farther away from the parents that they're...
I know exactly what you're saying. When parents have kids, they have certain ideals. And the thing is... Paraman shaves his head, listens to different kinds of music, he'll be an individual. His parents will be shocked and disturbed and disappointed because he hasn't done what they expected him to do, but he will be an individual.
Well, that's what's important, but a lot of parents, I don't think, understand that.
Yeah, well, I mean, individuality is not something that that is in very many dictionaries, I guess. It's something that that I don't think we place half enough emphasis on, and it's so important because that is what makes us people. That's what makes us so unique.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's obvious. Individuality makes you unique, yes. But we don't really say it enough. We don't really prize it enough. We don't say, hey, you just did this outrageous thing, and you're really being an individual by doing this. You're not following, some crazy group. You're not doing what everyone else in your age group is doing. You're not just following your parents' orders. You're doing something because you want to do it. And, I mean, as long as you're not hurting anybody else, what is the problem?
I don't know. It's... the media is teaching children... kids, whatever, to be individuals a lot more.
How so?
They used to. My parents grew up, watching American Bandstand, and it was just like everybody was, had the same haircut, and they were all listening to the same music. There was no variety, really.
Uh-huh.
And they're not used to this. These days, there are so many different extremes that you can take yourself to, that you can get into so many different incredible things.
Uh-huh.
And it's just,
that's very true.
They can't relate.
That's very true. That's why I don't think there'll ever be another Beatles, because in the 60s, the whole country seemed to be following the same things. But now, in the 1980s, I mean, there's all kinds of different movements, all kinds of different fragmentations of groups and of music and of art. It's great, because whatever you're into, you can probably find it, but you won't find very much unification. But I'm wondering if we need the unification as much as we need the diversity.
I don't know. But the 80s, there's more variety than I think there's ever been.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think variety is the spice of life.
I think it's great.
Where are you calling from?
Smithtown.
Well, thanks very much for calling, and keep on... valuing your judgment and your ideals and all that kind of thing.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
632-6901. Susan, did you have some comment on that? You were shaking your head, or...
Actually, I don't know if there's more variety now than there was before. I mean, and
But look at music. Look at all the different... I mean, look at the records we get in this place. We get hundreds a week.
Yeah, but this place isn't the normal place.
Well,
I mean,
it's true. I mean, the radio stations are still playing the same garbage.
Right. I mean, if you go down the aisle, you hear basically the same kind of music almost all over the dial, which is probably what it was like in the 60s. And there were all these unique people in the 60s who... See, I think parents on their agenda isn't that their kid be unique. The best, yeah, but not unique. And so people in general tend to look at unique things and try to push them back and push them behind. Maybe that's why we don't remember the unique people or music of the 60s. But I think it's all the same. It's just different kinds. Every age has its different kind of unique and its different kind of mainstream. And mainstream, for some odd reason, looks down on the unique. I mean...
That's because unique is a threat.
Yeah, it is a threat.
It's
scary.
A threat.
It's scary to be unique. And this goes back to your fraternity and sorority thing. It's scary to be an individual and go out there and try to make friends being yourself and not a part of anything else. And
I would like to talk more about the fraternities and sororities. In fact, if anyone out there is listening and belongs to a fraternity or has belonged to one or a sorority, I'd love to hear what it's like. You know, because I'm admitting I don't know as much as I should about it. But I'm telling you how I feel based on what I see, and I don't like what I see.
See, we had this kind of thing in high school, in junior high school, you know, all the cliquey, popular people, and then all those nerds and the weirdos and, you know, people who were unique, and so they were out of it, nerds.
Yeah, yeah. But they were out of it, but they were actually the with it ones, I think.
I think so. I was always a nerd.
Well, we all know that here, of course, but no. Susan is actually one of the hippest people around here.
Thank you.
632-6901. I'm sorry, I forgot the phone number for a second. Area code 516. Haven't heard from Massachusetts yet. I don't know if we ever will. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi. My name's Stephen. I'd just like to bring together two little elements from what you've been talking about tonight.
Okay.
One is about... fascists,
uh-huh.
Skinheads. Another is one guy who goes slightly crazy and kills his family. Am I the only person that sees a connection?
The connection between fascism and killing your family?
No, between these two types of violence.
Well, tell us the connection.
Well, they're both expressions against repression, particularly in the young man's case, that he was severely repressed by his family, and he's got no way out. He's not respected by his family, so he rebels in an extreme form. What's he rebelling against? He's rebelling against repression that comes from his family. His family are, you know, he was a good boy, he went to church, his family are good, in inverted commas. They went to church, they're good Christians. We can look at fascists, Aryan nations, people like that, who again espouse Christian beliefs. In my personal experience, some of the most fascist, anti-Semitic, racist, sexist, and just about any other ist you'd care to mention, the most extreme people I've met all would claim to be Christians. I'm not surprised that someone who's brought up in a extremely repressive Christian environment reacts in the way that he did.
So you see kind of a link with Christianity here?
Yes, in the extreme form of Christianity that a lot of people espouse.
Well, now I'm not quite sure I understand what the extreme form of Christianity, how does that do it to you? I mean, what is...
It's not the kid. He was fine. It's his parents that they can't tolerate. Any deviation from conformity.
But is that unique to Christianity?
Absolutely not, but that's the predominant religion hereabouts, so that's the way it goes.
Uh-huh.
Do you know Church of Jesus Christ Christian?
Yeah.
Have you heard of it?
I've heard it, yeah.
Well, this for some of the listeners that don't know too much about it. They really don't like the idea that Jesus Christ was Jewish, so they call their church Church of Jesus Christ, in brackets, Christian. They just hate the idea that he was anything other than Christian. Now, am I the only other person in the world that finds this bizarre?
Yeah, well, I see your point there. That's...
Now, these aren't out in Idaho. They are out in Idaho for sure. They're in Ronkonkoma as well, 5 miles away from where you're talking from.
Uh-huh. Oh, we have such a wide range of churches here. It's simply incredible, just in the three village area alone. And some of them are rather strange, I might add.
Oh, sure. I'm all for tolerance, but that's not top of the list on many of these institutions.
Uh-huh.
The intolerance is what...
Well, that's where I think the diversity comes in, because you have 100 churches. There isn't one that is so much in power that it can control everything, you see. Of course, that's not the way it is now, but I'm saying if we can have hundreds and hundreds of different factions, in a way it's good, because in a way everyone sort of does what they want to do, and there isn't this one...
I don't believe that.
You don't believe it's possible?
This young man could do what he wanted to do. He was no doubt presented with a diversity of religious institutions that he could choose to attend or not. But I don't believe he had that choice, not within his environment,
uh-huh.
that he was repressed.
Well, that unfortunately is still the case for most of us, I would say, that we don't have the choice, right? We have to follow in our parents' footsteps, whether it be in the workplace, in the religion, education.
We should not be surprised when kids rebel against that. We should perhaps be surprised when they take an axe to their sisters and things like that. But we shouldn't be surprised when people deliberately, consciously, do things that offend, that they are certain will offend their parents.
Isn't this kind of thing happening more these days, though?
No. No, I don't think so.
You think it's just being reported more or given more attention?
It's the flavor of the month.
Uh-huh.
It sells papers, it gets people watching TV.
Yeah, it certainly does.
Yep.
And I don't like reading stories like that, but I like to analyze what can lead up to something like that.
Things have a shelf life, and this story's shelf life has still got a little while to go. And, you know, another few months it won't be there.
Another few days it won't be there, and another few days we'll have another one.
Well,
over the holidays, I can't recall hearing so many mass murders over the past holiday season.
Yep.
It's simply unbelievable.
And I think if you're to look, I haven't looked carefully into the backgrounds of the people that were involved in that, but I'd be surprised if you didn't come across some bizarre religious fundamentalist in there somewhere.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you for calling. Where are you calling from, sir?
Setauket.
Okay. Well, thanks again for calling.
Okay, no problem.
632-6901 is our telephone number, area code 516, and good evening. You are on Brain Damage.
Hello. I'd like to comment on your discussion about individuality.
Yes.
Well, I guess I should explain my situation first. I go to a private school. It's a so-called Christian school.
Uh-huh.
And, well, part of the dress... They have a dress code there, and, you know, you're not allowed to have any unusual hairstyles or wear unusual clothes, so...
Uh-huh.
And my parents are fairly conservative, so... And recently, about a few weeks ago, I shaved part of my head, just the sides.
Oh, boy.
And they had a fit about it, and... Well, not only the school, but my parents had a fit about it. My father's reaction was that the reason I did this was because I was against him and I hated him.
Okay, now before we go into that, let me just ask you, at the moment you had that done, or the moment you did that, what was going through your mind? What were you thinking of?
Well, I was, I don't know, it was just because I wanted to do it. It wasn't basically, I just wanted to make an, I don't know if it was to make a statement about myself to say, you know, look at, I don't know, my father's idea was, well, okay, let me tell you this. Well, my idea was, you know, that I would stand out from the crowd and I'd be a little different from everyone else. And it wasn't so much an idea of getting attention towards myself, but it was basically something I wanted to do.
Uh-huh.
And...
Do any of your friends do the same kind of things?
Well, there was a friend of mine who was also at my school who had a mohawk, and they made him shave it off.
So he became a skinhead.
Well, the same thing happened to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, well, the school didn't force me to do it, but my father did.
Uh-huh.
So now I'm a skinhead.
Oh, boy. Well, that's not what you wanted, is it?
No.
Wow. So, now, tell me more about the reaction. He said it was something against him.
He thought that I did the whole thing because I was against him. that is because I had some sort of hate towards him was the reason I did this, to show him that I was, basically he thought I was telling him to go to hell.
Uh-huh.
And that was his reaction to the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
And
now, when this first happened, I assume you were at school when it happened.
What, when I shaved my head?
Yeah.
No, I did it at home.
Oh, you did it at home. Okay. So, oh, is this a sleepaway school, or is this a...
It's, what, you mean like a boarding school?
Yeah.
It is, but there's also people who go there during the day. I'm just a day student.
I see. Okay, so it's not something that you did and then came home for intercession or something.
No.
I see. Okay, so now, did the school have a reaction, or did your father just tell the school to have a reaction?
Well, the feeling was, also I have to tell you, there's another part to it, because my mother teaches at the school.
Oh, boy. Okay.
My father made me shave my head completely before I went to school, so the next day I came back completely bald.
You never made it to school?
Huh?
You never made it to school looking the way you wanted to look?
No.
I see.
So, there was a bit of a reaction. Everyone was looking at me and saying, hey, look at the skinhead.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy. And how old are you?
15.
Wow, that's a lot to be going through.
I know.
Well, now, how does it feel to be going to a school like that in the first place? I mean, do you feel like you're not getting something by going to a public school?
Well, I'm being pushed into a mold of, their mold of conformity, essentially.
Uh-huh.
And that I'm not allowed to be myself because, the feeling is that to be a success, you have to follow someone else's rules that they make out for you, and you can't be yourself. You have to be what other people expect you to be.
Uh-huh.
And
this must be reinforced by many other things besides the school you go to. I mean,
yeah, it's reinforced mainly by the school and my parents, because they're very conservative.
Uh-huh. But somehow you've gotten a taste of what it's like to be an individual. What do you attribute that to?
What do you mean, what I feel?
Well, obviously you have a sense of being an individual. You must have gotten that somehow.
Yeah. It was a good feeling at first, because I thought I had done something on my own that wasn't, I wasn't doing what other people expected me to do. I did what I wanted to do.
Uh-huh.
And that felt good.
Uh-huh. Well, do you think you're going to remain an individual, or have you been kind of suppressed now,
Well, I feel semi-suppressed, but I still maintain my individuality as much as I can.
I mean, there's all kinds of ways of being an individual without always confronting people about it, there are quiet little ways to just even if it's only inside your head, as long as who you are, and as long as you know that the stuff people are telling you is crap, if it is, as long as you don't give that up and give your minds to them, you're still maintaining some integrity.
Mm-hmm.
How about your friends, though? I mean, are most of the people that go to a place like that, do they have any shred of individuality?
Well, some of them do. It's a very small percentage. That most people are, it's basically, your preppy type of people who just follow what everyone else does and, just want to be part of the crowd.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I mean, that does not apply simply to either conservatives or religious schools or anything. I mean, you find that anywhere.
Yeah, I know.
People want to conform more than anything because conforming...
The thing is, here at this school, it's enforced by the administration.
Right, right.
It's not just something going on between students.
Well, I mean, it's enforced by administration everywhere in different ways, whether it be grade point averages or certain people not being allowed to live in certain areas of the campus or have cars or things like that.
Yeah.
It's there are various little ways of doing it. In your case, it's much more obvious.
Yeah.
And in a way, maybe that's good because you see it and you're more aware of it and you realize what a threat it is to you as an individual. And that might make you a little bit more outspoken and you'll value these things a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So, but... I mean, you're living a peaceful life now. I mean, you're not being threatened by the school or by your parents or anything.
Well, no, I'm not getting any sort. It's the situation's calmed down. So.
An uneasy truce.
Hmm?
An uneasy truce of sorts.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Yeah. Well, your hair should be growing back in about 6 months or so.
Yeah, it is. It's growing back fast.
Uh huh. Well, that's how many more years do you have in that school?
Well, this is my sophomore year, so I have 2 more years after this.
Now, do you have plans, or do they have plans for you after that?
What do you mean, as far as college is concerned?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm thinking about it. I'm not really sure what I want to do with my life as of now.
Do you think you'll have trouble at that point, you know, expressing your feelings and making a decision?
Well, this school I'm going to, I didn't pick this school. It was picked for me, so. If I do decide to go to college, I'm going to make sure that it's the college I want to go to and not the college someone else wants me to go to.
And do you really think you'll be able to do that?
I hope so.
Yeah. Well, you know, as I'm sure Dear Abby would say, you have to do what you think is right.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it may seem like the alternative is really horrible, you know, the alternative to doing what everyone tells you to do. I mean, maybe you won't have any money, maybe you won't have any support, but at least, you know, you'll respect yourself and, you know, you'll meet people that feel the same way and that you share things with.
Yeah.
I mean, are you able to really share things with people in a place like this?
Yeah, well, not so much in school, but I've made friends outside of school. Live in the area who, you know, basically feel the same way as I do, so.
Yeah.
I'm not alone.
Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah.
Definitely not. Well, keep in touch with us, because I'm sure our listeners would love to know what, you know, what kind of things go on in a place like that. You know, private schools have always kind of intrigued me.
Yeah.
We have one here. We call it the Stony Brook School. It used to be called the Stony Brook School for Boys, but then they entered the 19th century, I guess, and let girls in, too.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, although the campus there is much nicer than the campus here at Stony Brook University.
That's the school I go to.
Oh, I hit the nail right on the head, eh? Well, it's a nice place if that's any comfort.
Yeah.
At least it looks, you know, aesthetically pleasing.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, well, thanks very much for calling.
Okay.
Good luck.
Okay, bye.
Bye. I guess we have time for about one more call, 632-6901, in case we have time for a couple more. And should I get that call?
Yes, I think you should.
Okay, well, this might be it. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing, Eric?
Okay, who's this?
This is Beth.
Beth, how are you?
Pretty good.
What's up?
I went to private school, and we have a graduate of Stony Brook School sitting right here.
Where?
Right in my abode.
Oh, there. I was looking around here. I thought you snuck in or something.
One of the radio station alumni, Mr. Ted Schreiber.
Theodore Schreiber?
I guess.
Wow. He went to a private school, huh?
Uh-huh. So did I. Well, not Stony Brook, but...
Now, did he go to the Stony Brook School?
Yep.
How about that? And is he able to talk?
Yes, he...
Well, you know, they're not all bad, then. I mean, look at him. He's able to talk.
Here, scream, Ted. Scream.
Can he scream, too?
I'm a productive human being. I listen to alternative music.
Wow.
Kid.
You hear that? You'll live, kid. That's good of you to lend support like that, Ted. What were things like when... I mean, I'm sure you never tried to do things to your hair over there, did you?
No, in fact. It's only now that I feel I can have the guts to let it grow long.
Uh-huh.
And I never really cared too much for my hair as self-expression, per se. But one of the things I liked about the school, I know, at the time, was that intelligent discussion was encouraged. Even, some girl brought Bill Baird there once, which I was really impressed with.
Bill Baird, who runs the abortion clinics?
Yes, but...
That's incredible.
Religious discussion was not necessarily encouraged. It was definitely, you know, as far as... But, I mean, there were intelligent people. I see it swinging way more to the right now.
Yeah.
A lot of the faculty have left recently in the last couple of years, anybody I had. And it's a pretty weird scene. And they're going from people who are more religiously oriented teachers who were educated at so-called Christian colleges, as opposed to... teachers who went to, say, better schools, better thinkers who, went to...
People who went to schools, not seminaries.
Right.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Who can teach.
Uh-huh.
These people, they're looking for more ministers.
Now,
as
is the Stone? I'm rather ignorant about this. Is the Stony Brook School a Catholic school or a Christian school?
No, it's a fundamentalist Christian.
Fundamentalist Christian. Okay.
Now that doesn't mean they're Jimmy Swagger types. They're not.
Uh huh.
They're a little more low key, a little more northern, as you know.
Yeah.
But it's and the campus is much nicer than the universities.
Now let's say somebody in a place like that. Just felt some crazy desire to know something about AIDS or something like that. And in fact, I kind of wish the other caller was still here because I'd like to know, you know, are these things closed off?
No, no, you can discuss it. As a student, you can't have sex. It's part of the honor code.
That's written into the honor code, huh?
The honor code. The things like guns and firearms are community commitments, which since I had no real problem with the community commitments because I wasn't carrying guns and firearms.
Uh-huh.
But that's one of the weird ones. In the honor code, it's I will respect somebody's sexual integrity, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
And they can throw you out if they have proof or catch you in the act.
Fascinating.
It is. I mean, yeah, it's kind of entertaining as well now for me.
Yeah.
To laugh at it, but it's... You know.
Well, that's sort of what I was saying before, you know. When you come out of a situation like that, you know, you... I don't know, you feel like you've done battle, and if you come out with any sense of yourself, I don't know, somehow you respect yourself a lot more, and you'll be more hesitant to let it happen again in whatever way. And,
sure.
And maybe, you know, maybe if like the previous caller feels, you know, if he has kids someday, you know, he will somehow respect them more as individuals. When he sees a similar conflict happening in the future, he'll say, that reminds me of what happened to me. And he'll respect them more for it. Not just kids, with his friends and you know, anyone else. And that's why, you know, it's all very well to preach and to say, you know, individual this, individual that, but if you actually have something that you've fought for to keep your individuality, whether it be with your peers or with your parents or with your teachers, if you've actually said, damn it, I'm an individual, I'm going to do what I want, it somehow means more. You know?
Oh, yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Good, that means it made sense.
No, you
I wasn't
did.
Sure
you,
for a
believe
second.
It or not, you made sense, Eric. You've been known to do that in the past as well.
It does happen occasionally.
No, and the thing is, but one thing about this particular place in question is that I am really thankful I went there as opposed to the high school I could have gone to, but I wouldn't send my kids there.
Uh-huh.
Because I see it sliding further and further beyond the point of reasonableness.
Uh-huh.
And unless they do something, I don't see it getting any better. Because what they wanted to do with the school was make it, you know, just a great prep school, period.
Uh-huh.
That is of Christian orientation, whatnot, but just a great prep school. A place to choose if your kids don't get into choke, you know, a place to choose.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think if they continue with putting so much weight on the teacher's religious background and ministering capabilities that they're going to get anywhere with that.
Well, you know, I went to a public school, and I'm glad I did. In fact, I'm proud I went to Ward Melville High School. And a lot of bizarre, strange, almost creepy people went to that place. But, you know, you had a sense. You had a sense of a lot of diversity, and, you know, you weren't really threatened by any of it. And you sort of hung out with who you wanted to hang out with, and there wasn't all that much pressure.
Right,
you know?
Sure.
I guess, you know, that's good for some people and bad for others.
Well, that's how you learn to hang out in the real world. You're not going to always be surrounded by such nice folks.
Right, I know. That's exactly it. When you get out of a school like that, I mean, maybe you'll go to a college like that, too. But then when you get out of the college, well, then you go to a graduate school, okay.
All right.
After all that, when you're about 40 years old, and you get out into the real world finally, and you set foot on the street,
you're
going to say,
avoided.
Wait a minute, what's this place here? You know, what are we doing?
And that might happen. I mean, you can insulate yourself for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And it's, you can go, and then you can go to North Africa or wherever, but you'll be a missionary, and you'll
oh,
be representing
God.
This group, right?
That's right.
So you'll never really know what the hell's going on.
Well, I think the majority of us are living in fantasy land. Oh, Ted, I'm sorry, that's my boat. I've got to fly.
That needs to speak you off the air.
Okay, I will put her on hold then.
Okay.
All right, magical hold button. And yes, that is the boat. It's time for us to be heading out of here. What are you pointing to? Pointing to a book. Highest radio listener response. We read this already.
No, well, you did. I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah, we read this about the highest radio listener response. We had a pretty high response tonight.
We're getting close.
We didn't get 388,299 calls like WCAU in Philadelphia did on November 27, 1974. But we got a fair number. We had a fair number.
Yeah.
And
now, you had good calls. You had a lot of people.
We had good callers tonight. I'm very pleased and proud to hear some of the people that called this week, and I hope they're around in future weeks. We're on every Saturday night from 10 to 12. The program is Brain Damage. I'm Eric Corley, and I'll be back, and I'm sure others will be back. Susan, you'll be back.
I'll be back. Part-time.
Our callers will be back. Meanwhile, the brothers are coming up next with, 2.5 hours or 3 hours?
It seems like three, but it's actually 2.5.
It seems like three, but it's actually... Okay, it's lobotomy coming up.
Different kind of brain damage.
Different kinds, yeah. There's all kinds of brain damage.
After brain damage, there's lobotomy.
Tune into USB, you'll hear all kinds of brain damage. WUSB, Stony Brook. It's midnight. Good night. I mean, good morning. Thanks, Susan.
On the grass, the lunatic is on the grass. Remembering games, daisy chains, loves. Got to keep the lunatic on the path. The lunatic is in the hall. The lunatics are in my hall. The paper holds their folded faces to the floor. And every day the paper boy brings more.
Wednesday, February 24th, Ahmad Jamal will be at Carlos One. Ayurto and Flora Purim will be at the Blue Note through February 28th. The iTiles will be at SOB's. Jeff Altman will be at Caroline's. L.A. Guns and Laz Rocket will be at the Cat Club. Pianosaurus will be at Siberia. The Rattlers and the Waldos will be at Nirvana Club One. The Red Hot Chili Peppers will be playing at the Ritz. And Special Effects and Chris Rush will be at the Bottom Line. Sun Ra will be at Sweet Basil's, and Scram will be at the Union at SUNY Stony Brook. Thursday, February 25th, Ahmad Jamal will be at Carlos One. The Shy Lights will be at Westbury Music Fair. Henry Rollins and Lydia Lunch will be at Maxwell's. Jeff Allman will be at Caroline's. Lazy Lester will be at the Lone Star. Leather Nun will be at Drums. Paul Carrick with Nick Lowe and House of Freaks will be at the Ritz. Steve Kuhn will be at Fat Tuesdays. Sun Ra will be at Sweet Basil's through February 28th. That's for Thursday, February 25th. Friday, February 26th, Ahmad Jamal will be at Carlos One. Chris Damey and House of Freaks will be at Maxwell's. Day for Night will be at Sparks. Herbie Mann will be at the Village Gate. Jay and the Americans will be at Westbury Music Fair. Meatloaf will be at the Ritz. Mighty Sparrow will be at SOB's. Richard Belzer will be at Caroline's. Roy Orbison will be at the Beacon Theater. Steve Kuhn will be at Fat Tuesdays. Sun Ra will be at Sweet Basil's. And Melba Moore will be in the Fine Arts Center at SUNY Stony Brook. Saturday, February 27th, Ahmad Jamal will be at Carlos One. Herbie Mann will be at the Village Gate. L.A. Guns and Laz Rocket will be at Sundance. Richard Belzer will be at Caroline's. Steve Kuhn will be at Fat Tuesdays. Sun Ra will be at Sweet Basil's. And Warlock, Law and Order, Sword, and Princess Pang will be at the Ritz. This has been the Concert Billboard on WUSB 90.1 Stony Brook. The Billboard can be heard weekdays at 3 and 9 a.m. and 4:30 and 10 p.m. and on weekends at noon and midnight. If you have any questions, call us here at the station at 632-6901.
Come join the Lullaby of Broadway with me, Marcy Hain, on Curtain Call every Sunday afternoon from 5 to 5:30, only at 90.1 FM.
Listen to the Lullaby of all. She'd be a psycho day. She punched me in the face.